Some people might choose to go out and actually be really clear on what their message is in order to connect with people via podcasting. For others, it might be YouTube. For others, it might be social media content. But how do you actually know the core message of your brand in a way that is consistent across your platforms?
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Welcome back to the podcast on podcasting. I am your host, AAA Adam A. Adams, and I've got Candace Hickman on the show today. She's the host of the podcast, Becoming Known, and which is actually on a hiatus as we record. More on that here in a moment, but I will just mention as well, Candace is a personal branding strategist. She helps leaders grow. She helps them find their voice. She helps them get to the next level, and she helps them to be able to have that story that they share out there, and marketing as well. So she's been doing consulting, occupational therapy, helping people for since around 2017. So she's got quite a few years of experience doing this for other people. So I'm definitely going to, like I always do, learn a little bit about her path as she became a podcaster. But because she has this expertise in a thing that you and I both need to know, I'm going to do something that I do every now and again, and that is I'm going to get completely free advice from Candace today. I'm going to ask her whatever the heck I want. She's not going to know that I'm doing it, but you and I are going to grow from all of the things that she can teach us about finding our voice and getting our message out there where we want it to be, in addition to just going through her podcast and talking about that one thing. How she's kind of on a hiatus. And what is she going through? Is this a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Find out now. All right, Candace, how's it going, my friend?
Well, I'm excited for this interview based upon that introduction alone. Lucky I'm quick on my feet so that I can answer these questions you plan on firing at me.
And I'm excited about this interview based on your accent alone.
Uh-huh.
What's the accent? Where is that coming from? I know you live in Miami, but it's got to be from somewhere else, no?
Yeah, I'm Australian, and I appreciate you asking.
Okay, instead of just not pretending like you're at one of these. Yeah, I found, and I used to be able to tell like Aussie and New Zealand, Kiwi and South African, and even like a few different parts of England. Yeah, I used to be able to tell because I served this mission in Los Angeles, and I had a couple of Aussie companions that I worked with all the time and a couple of Kiwi companions, and it was like second nature a long time ago. Now I can't do it. And I've learned that you absolutely do not want to say the wrong accent to any of those because you start some hairs growing on the back of the neck or fire smoking out of the ears.
So I've heard. People say that there's like some kind of competition between Australians and New Zealanders, but I'm not actually super familiar with it outside of the rugby. So.
Yeah, true. So the New Zealand has the All Blacks. What's the big team in Australia?
Oh, look, I don't even know.
Do
we even have a name? I don't know. What is our name? I don't know.
They've got to have one.
Yeah, I don't know. The All Blacks are so well branded.
True.
You know, that we know about the All Blacks, but I don't know. The Australian team, I don't even think we have a name. I'll have to go and Google that. That's abysmal. That is absolutely abysmal that I don't know that.
I think the third best team in the world is Brigham Young University. Not just the third best, but also they have like the biggest guys. They're like, they take the best from New Zealand. They take the best from Australia. They take the best from the U.S. It's BYU. Yeah, it's a Mormon school. They are huge at rugby. My little brother used to play rugby. Not that we're talking about rugby today, but he played rugby and lacrosse and soccer. Anyway,
I was never like that.
I could run. I was a runner.
I was going to say, he was in all the expensive sports.
Soccer, oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Lacrosse.
By the time he was the only child, his younger brother, and I was out of the house, not eating my parents out of house and home, now I'm eating myself out of house and home because I eat so much food. By the time that happened, I think my parents had so much money, they like put him in all the expensive sports. And here I was like on food stamps and walking, using the bus. We didn't have a car. But then my brother comes along. He's got his life made for him. Yeah. I hope he doesn't listen to this. He's going to be so mad. Anyway, yeah. Candace, let's make this interview about you, my friend, and the listener, and how we can grow their brand. So I'm curious, like when you started, I know you've been doing personal branding and helping people with their businesses since around 2017. When did you start your podcast called Becoming Known?
I started that in like December of 2018.
Okay, December of 2018. Awesome. And so how many episodes, actually, I know this, 64. You got to 64 episodes. Mm-hmm. But right now you're doing like some type of hiatus thing, which we'll get to in a moment. I want to find out though, why did you start your podcast? Like you already had your business, you're already doing just fine. What made you compelled to have your own podcast out there, a personal brand or whatever it was that you were looking for?
There was a couple of reasons why I decided to create a podcast. One of the first reasons is because I wanted to deepen my relationships with an existing audience. So I had an audience, I had people that I was speaking to and a list, an email list that I was building, and I wanted to provide an opportunity for them to get to know me a little better. I also had an interview-based podcast, have an interview-based podcast. And so...
So there's another podcast that I missed.
Well, no. This is the same podcast. I'm just letting you know that that's the format of it. It's interview-based. And this is from a strategic standpoint. I wanted to leverage the many relationships that I had with people as a way to also grow the brand. And so there was a couple of reasons. Wanting to deepen those relationships, wanting to be able to tell stories, wanted to be able to tell other people's stories, and also wanting to create type of a collaboration with the people that I already knew in a way that I anticipated would help to actually grow, strengthen, and broaden my audience.
Wow. I'm making tons of notes. So out of curiosity, like, were you not achieving leveraging the relationships to grow your brand, having people's stories to be able to illustrate the points that you're trying to make and having those collaborations with others in order to grow your business and basically, in a way, kind of hack into each other's network and to grow together? Like, those were the goals. Were you not achieving it?
I was deepening relationships, and I would have people that would, listeners that were joining my programs, and people that were reaching out to me, telling me how much and how much value they got out of the actual podcast. I was forming relationships, because anytime you actually give somebody access to your platform, people are all over it. I had many amazing, incredible people that I interviewed over the course of 64 episodes. What I did find, though, was that I was having this full-on process. I had this full-on process of the protocols that I was going through in order to actually help the person to share their episode, right? So here's your episode. This is what you're going to do. Click this button. It'll share it there. Click it here. It'll share it there. But what I found was that I wasn't getting the leverage from the individual, right? So even though I was having these awesome guests, oftentimes I wasn't finding that they were actually going out and sharing it. So they were seeing it as an opportunity to get more coverage for them, but not as an opportunity to grow together. So that was one of the things that I was seeing. From a standpoint of initially, I had this idea that it was going to create a lot of organic growth for me through attracting people. But I realized that I hadn't figured out how to actually optimize a lot of the episodes for SEO. That's a whole other thing. So I wasn't actually, while I had the opportunity to deepen the existing relationships, I wasn't attracting new people. So I actually went on pause, and there's a bit more to that, but I actually went on pause because I wanted to reevaluate the future, the growth strategically, how I was going to continue to do this in a way that felt good. And that was in February. And then in March, COVID hit. March 2020, COVID hit and shut down the studio that I recorded out of. And so then it's taken time. And I've been in this process of like, how can I do this in a really strategic way?
So with you have a couple of mics at your house. I mean, like with you right now, you found a way to be able to record. And just, I want to mention to our listener that I'm opinionated on mics. So a couple quick things. Two mics. One of them is the Samson Q2U. It's like $69. And the other one is a little more. I think it's like around $120. Don't quote me on that. It's almost double the price or around double the price. And it's called the Blue Yeti mic. And a lot of people would automatically think that if it costs more, it's better. Even just today, we noticed that your Q2U sounds super, super good, right? So I just want to illustrate to the listener before I ask you my question is that don't get a Blue Yeti. You don't need it. You hear a lot of echo. This Samson Q2U she's using right now sounds so epic. I love it. It sounds so good. And it's only like $69. And then there's one that's 20 that still sounds really, really good. Even I think better than the Q2U, even better than the Blue Yeti. And it's only $20. And it's just that it's a dynamic instead of a condenser. And so that is important to notate. Now I want to ask the question, like in March of, I think, 2020, which is a while back, in my opinion, that's how I look at it. The studio shut down. Like they decided, hey, we're done. We can't maybe make this work. We don't know when it's going to open back up. We have a lot of overhead, but nothing coming in anymore. And so they ended up shutting down. But you at your house, you figured out you're strategizing stuff, but you've got these two different mics, more than half the people out there, I would say. At least. So are you recording right now? We talked in the beginning, like you said, hey, I go into my closet with the Blue Yeti because of like the sound, it kind of keeps it sounding a little bit better. My question is, are you recording now? And is there a reason why you have multiple mics when some people don't even have one mic?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not recording now. We spoke earlier and I said I was doing some recording and that's because I was building some online courses, right?
Oh, cool.
So that's what that was. The reason why I have two mics is because the mic that I'm actually using right now is the mic that recorded all 64 episodes.
Ah.
Which is really interesting because we got on and I had the Blue Yeti, but it's so sensitive that it picks up so much sound. And when you're in kind of a hollow room with tiles where I am right now, that's not padded or anything, it picks up everything. I had believed, maybe it was the hype, that the Blue Yeti mic was the thing that I needed to get in order to be really professional. And Adam, you and I actually came across each other because I was the MC for Podcast Movement a couple of months back. And when they asked me to actually MC it, I thought, well, heck, I can't use the mic that I have, which is the Samson. I need to get a better mic than this. And I ended up actually going out getting the Blue Yeti because I wanted to sound super professional for them. And I actually ended up using my headphones because the Blue Yeti wasn't working for my space. So that's the reason why I have a couple of microphones, because it was my search to sound as professional as possible.
Love
and
it.
Actually, this microphone here, this Samson Q2, this was a gift from my mom. She said a couple of years ago, what do you want for your birthday? I said, I'm getting started on my podcast, so I want a microphone.
Nice.
That's what she bought me, podcasting microphone.
Nice. I constantly support the Q2U, the ATR 2100X, the Shure MV7. And even a $20 mic. And if the listener's like curious about mics that I recommend, all five of them and any other equipment that you'll ever need, you can find for free. And we'll put this in the little resources area in the show notes. There's a link. It's just growyourshow.com/PDF. And that just helps you download a completely free PDF. Some of the links on there are affiliate links, so I might make like 50 cents or a couple bucks or whatever, but just know that it's there. You don't pay a dime extra, and all of the stuff that I've added is in one place, growyourshow.com/PDF, for all the equipment you'll ever need, including green screens and cameras and whatever else you'll ever need. So Candace, with your expertise, I want to get to just kind of discussing what we can do to brand ourselves, whether it's through podcasting or whether there's just some ideas that we need to know. I'm curious, before we get there though, with you and kind of like your experience stopping that podcast, what you've learned, what you haven't learned. One of the things that I think you mentioned was like you wanted to grow the SEO. Another thing is you wanted to like really deepen the relationships with other people. Another thing is you wanted to attract new people to the podcast. But that piece where what you found, you said, was like attracting new people to the show wasn't really helping. Like you even created all these systems. Like this is exactly how you share it. This is the quote card that you need to share it. But there's a majority of people that just weren't really doing it. As you consider coming back to that same podcast, Becoming Known, which I love that name, by the way. As you consider like coming back to that podcast, have you made a plan, or is there any new way that you are already thinking like, well, I can solve that problem by doing this, or are you not there yet?
No, I've spent actually a lot of time thinking. I mean, look, hell, I've had over a year now, right? Thinking about how to actually make podcasting work for me in the way that I want it to. And I think that a big part of the people have to realize about podcasting is that it's one part of a whole marketing strategy. And here's what I mean by that. In order to really optimize for SEO, I didn't pay attention to, and maybe you can shed some light on this, Adam, but I never really paid attention to the importance of actually having the blog with the show notes or what that actually even meant. I would just pop up like a little 200 word blurb and embed my podcast into the podcast player, into the blog post, and that would be it. Over time, I started to realize, as I stepped back away from it, the thing that I realized is that it really is valuable. It's crucial, from my understanding now, to spend that time to actually make sure that you're researching the right keywords to actually attract people, that you're actually spending the time to actually write content and write show notes that are properly optimized so that people are being attracted to the site. There is pushing and then there is pulling. Marketing push is like you going out there, hustling, pounding the pavement, trying to get people to share out the podcast. And then there's the pulling, which is making sure that you've optimized thing in such a way that you're actually pulling people into the site, right? That you're not, it's not such this hardcore hustle all the time. And I don't think that that's what, I wasn't working smart. I worked very hard, but I wasn't working smart. The other thing that I actually, which is something else to just be thinking about, is that I probably spent my first 50 odd episodes recording back to back to back to back. I didn't have a break. And then I had this moment where I said, do I want to podcast like this, or would I prefer to podcast in seasons? You know, like what would it feel like, even though I'm just doing interviews, what would it feel like to actually just do a season and then have a break and then do another season and just let people know that this is how. And so the last kind of 14, I started recording in seasons, and which is what happened. I had the season break and then ended up in a high. It was unplanned, me taking this long of a break. Let's just say this. I was just trying to figure out how to strategize, and all these other things came to me in the meantime. But yeah, just to kind of to share that.
Awesome. How long is like a typical season, or how long should a season be, or how long are your seasons?
I was just doing 8 episodes.
Okay.
I don't know that there's like a specific amount of time that a season should be. I was doing mine to kind of be reminiscent of what you see on television. A lot of times, like TV seasons will be 8 to 16 odd episodes. And so I was just doing it like a Netflix pilot, a Netflix show. A lot of those new shows are coming out and they have like about 8 episodes. So I was just doing it to kind of reflect what networks do. So I don't know whether that's right or not, but that's how I was approaching it.
Awesome. I'm taking lots of really good notes with everything that you're sharing and loving it. Thank you, Candace. I appreciate you coming on the show, opening up, showing us what's working, what's not, how you're thinking through it, where the struggle could be for a new podcaster. And I'm definitely going to come back to this thing about seasons with you right now, because I think a little bit differently. And I love that we have a different point of view and a different like open-mindedness to like how a podcast could be or how it should be. Just like I was opinionated about this Blue Yeti, which I don't want you to buy or anyone else to buy. I always believe that with our podcasters, as we're doing this for business, I think that it helps the most to be very consistent, like with the publishing of an episode, and not to have like a season and then it ends and then a season comes and then a season ends. For me, the reasons are that in general, like the consistency of publishing episodes can hit some algorithms where the Apple and Stitcher and iHeart and stuff like that can really promote you for you because they see that consistency, and sometimes can be a challenge for them. They're like, oh, wait, he doesn't have any episodes coming out today? Like, okay, maybe they quit. Let's put a different podcast in front of people. And another reason is just because I think about like the podcast listener themselves, and I am with you on Netflix, and I'm so grateful that they put a whole season out at once so I could binge it. When it's over, I'm like, crap, I need to stop listening to this show and go and find another show. And I might go and listen to watch six episodes of a completely different show and almost forget about the one that I really wanted, but they just didn't have any content ready for me. I think of it like for two parts. A, if you stop, you might hit some algorithms with Apple. And B, if you stop, you might let down a listener. And so I wonder, like, what are your thoughts? I know that there's pros and cons to everything. Maybe you could speak on the opposite side for a listener. So like you can say, well, I know that, but this benefit over here.
Well, I think from the perspective of a listener for me or a watcher for me, having a season, one, gives me time to catch up because I'm not listening to you every single week. That's just me. Maybe some people are, but I'm not listening to your podcast every week. I'm not listening to it every day. I'm somebody that does tend to binge. I go looking for information that I need rather than just subscribing to anyone think. Now, I might come to really love a podcaster and want to hear what they have to say. I love the Story Brand podcast, one of my favorite podcasts. Love hearing what they in particular have to say. But from the standpoint of like needing stuff to come out every single week as a listener, I'm not that person. There are, I believe, three groups involved here though, right? There's the listener, there's the platform, but then there's also you. And I think that it can be really easy to forget about you and to forget about what do you need in order to create, to continue to be motivated, passionate, to create content that's actually inspired, and also to create something that is sustainable. And so one of the reasons why I decided after 50 odd episodes back to back, creating, because like I said, it was just one part of a bigger marketing strategy. Podcasting is not everything that I do, is how do I continue to do this in a way that is inspired and that is sustainable? And for me, that's one of the reasons, one of the primary reasons why I said, you know what, maybe I can try this in seasons, give myself a little bit of a break. And actually the last season that I did, having that space and also knowing that there was going to be, I'm going to take a break after this date, allowed me to just show up in different ways. Like it wasn't just me talking with the person. I hired a podcast editor and we did kind of, I did voiceovers and to talk back about the conversation we were having. And we had music in the background and we tried to just spruce it up, make it a little bit more interesting. But knowing that I actually had a container of time in which I was doing that allowed me to do that without feeling overwhelmed. Like this is just my life.
All right. I'm glad I asked because you just make some really great points and I appreciate you going into it. Like talking about, I only mentioned two groups and you mentioned that third group and how important that third group is. And that's you. And what do you need? If we're not asking that question, like self-care, making sure that we're taking care of ourselves, that we're excited about the podcast, what you said was make sure it's inspired and sustainable. Like you need to be able to know that content, be inspired to make that content, be excited to make that content, and do it at a level that's sustainable. And one of the points that you made, I'm going to call it light at the end of the tunnel. I don't remember how you said it. You were like, I know that there's an end in mind. I can see what I'm going for. And I think that for some of us, like, it's difficult just plugging away over and over and over without relent. And for you, you kind of mentioned that one of the ways that you've gotten around this and helped to keep yourself inspired, because you're that third party, and keep yourself adding good value and making it sustainable, is to put a light at the end of the tunnel. That this is my kids and I, we do a lot of road trips, and we have these tunnels, literally, like in Colorado, there's tons of giant tunnels. The Eisenhower Tunnel is one of the biggest tunnels in all of America, and it's about 1.6 miles long. And we try to have ourselves hold our breaths. We try to hold our breath through the whole tunnel, or you like lift up your feet, right? And it's so interesting, Candace. It's near impossible to do it, to hold your breath. But as soon as you see that the light is coming up at the end of the tunnel, the kids are like, all right, just until that, I'd have to quit and I can finally let go. And without that, it would be impossible. With that, it allows you to push through the finish line and actually give great content. So I love the way that you shared that. I really, really, really appreciate it. And I see it in my mind, and I'm opening up my mind to a new way, even though I'm always been like, you got to be consistent. No, I see it and I'm open to it. And I'm grateful for your thoughts on that. I want to really dive in now to your personal branding strategy. What do we need to do as podcasters or just as business people to be better at personal branding? I know you've got tons, and so it's an open question, but if you wouldn't mind giving us the three things or the two things, I'll take great notes and make sure that I get free advice from you and you wouldn't even know about it.
Yeah. Look, I believe that I feel like I'm a little bit different than maybe like a lot of other people that are in the world of personal branding, because I believe that personal branding is about really knowing who you are. It's about knowing what your strengths are, your unique gifts. It's about knowing what you want to be known for. I think that's a really important thing. And then knowing what it is that you have to offer. And that might be from a strength standpoint. It could be from a physical standpoint, like who am I as a brand and what do I actually have for people to buy from me? So it's being clear on who am I and what do I have to offer? And who am I, meaning the stories that I have, what have I been through in my life? What do I have to share in terms of a message that allows people to feel connected to me? And this is particularly important if you're a podcaster and you're planning on creating a podcast that is story-based or interview-based, or you want to build up yourself as a brand. It's like, what is the underpinning of what it is that you have to share? What is the core message? And then on the second level of personal branding, so it's who am I? What do I have to offer? It's the how do I communicate that in a way that resonates with the people that are listening? And maybe the way that you communicate might be your verbal communication. It might be the way that you actually present yourself visually. It might be the way that the things that you choose to write in your marketing materials, the episodes that you choose, the conversations that you have, the people that you invite onto your platforms. So personal branding is really just like, it's the sum of all of those things. And then as a result of all those things, how do people feel about you? Because your brand, I can't remember who said this, but it's somebody else's perception of you that exists outside of you. So somebody else's perception of you is essentially what a brand is. So how do all those things actually define how you show up in the world and people's experience of you?
Holy cow, that's so interesting. I really like that a lot. So much to unravel, but I really wanted to touch on this because you said something to the effect of, and I might be misquoting you, it was like story-based or interview-based. And what I was wondering is, like, Are these mutually exclusive? Is it like, can it be story-based and interview-based at the same time? Can you have a podcast that has an interview and a story, or does the story go intertwined with the interview? So I just wanted to give you like a sec to open that up so I understand and I can just get some free advice from you.
Yeah, and that maybe wasn't the best either or example in my mind when I was, because interviews certainly can be story-based. If you're leading somebody through the process of actually them telling their story or sharing tips and skills and advice that have a story as the underpinning of it, when I was referring to story-based, I was thinking more about some nonfiction versus fiction. Sometimes we have those, they're kind of like a solo podcast where you're actually telling us some type of story that it might be fiction story. It might be your own personal story that you're leading people through. I actually am currently interviewing my dad. I didn't mention that. I'm actually currently interviewing my 85-year-old father who grew up in Bentonia, Mississippi as a black man in 1935, who moved to Australia, met my mom, and never came back. Like, we were born and raised over there. And so it's all these stories about being a black man, like, just in Jim Crow, in all these things. And for the first time in my life, I'm sitting down to actually interview him. And I was thinking, like, could I turn this into a podcast? Like, would people be interested in this? So that's what I mean by story-based.
Yeah, I do. And it's good to know that you can kind of do either or. You could kind of combine them on top of each other. And for me, what's interesting, I'm learning from you right now. I have this podcast. Well, as we're recording, maybe it'll change because I'm open, like you were, to being able to change it after 50 episodes to do a season of 8 or whatever it is that change happens. But what has been happening lately is we do every other episode is one is you and I having this conversation, me trying to learn as much as I can from you and getting like your story so that other like listeners can resonate and see different people's perspectives and learn how, oh, I like that thing about what Candace said. And I like this other thing, what John said, or you know what I mean? Then the other episode is just me personally. But with what I was going to say, how I learned from you is I'm like sometimes too cut and dry. I'll do stories every now and again, like the light at the end of the tunnel with my kids. Mm-hmm. If I know that I can drive a point home with an actual tangible thing that people can see, then I'll pepper it in. But when I do my solo episodes, Candace, I sit here and I just like content, 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 content. There's nothing funny. I don't make a single joke. And there's no like story like, oh, I was challenged by this thing and this is what I learned from it. And you actually did that. In this interview, you're like, what I found was, and it reminded me of how we would work as salespeople, felt found. This is where I was. I understand how you feel. I felt the same way. And what I found was this. And it helps somebody kind of come through, right? Mm-hmm. You do it naturally. How do I find a way in wanting to just add value and give tangibles, like takeaways? How do I find ways of weaving in stories better on those solo episodes that I'm doing every other episode?
Well, firstly, you have to actually pay attention to your stories, because every single day there are moments of every single day that actually inform our lives, millions of stories, right? People don't pay enough attention to them. Like in this moment right now, I can tell you that my neighbor has decided to do some laundry or something and I can hear everything. And I'm sitting here and I'm feeling like kind of a little bit of an anxiety because I'm worried that this microphone is picking it up.
And the other one would, but this one, you know, is actually not. This is a legit Samson Q2U for only $69.
I hope they give you some affiliate commission or something. But to me, that could be an entire episode. The story of how your son spilled Kool-Aid on the ground. Is that what he spilled? No, fruit punch, not
fruit
Kool-Aid.
Punch. High C fruit punch.
Right before you were about to podcast.
Yeah.
You know, like there's just so many stories. And when we pay attention to them, it becomes, I would challenge you to think about what story can I build my next episode around? even if that were the heart of it, because look, we connect with other people through stories. Stories is what actually pulls us in and makes us interested in something. Stories is what holds our attention. You have to imagine that anybody that's actually listening to this, all that they have is their audio, right? All that their capacity to hear us is all that is connecting us to them right now. And so how can we create a visual imagery of what actually might be going on? And so for you, it might be a matter of, and for anyone that's listening, it might be a matter of like thinking about the stories that have actually happened in my day and how could I actually create an episode or figure out a way to tie a lesson back to that story that happened. So that the foundation of the episode isn't about the actual teaching, but it's actually about the story and how we actually weave teaching points into the story.
Interesting. Episode is about the story. Jeez, you talk so fast. It's hard to keep up with you. Hey, it's interesting. I'm reading this book. I'm dyslexic, so I don't read books. I listen to them. So I'm listening to this book on Audible. I don't even know why I can't think of the name of it. But that part is irrelevant. The part that's super relevant is that I don't even know what the lesson is sometimes. Mm-hmm. But I do love listening to this book. Like this guy, he's some type of like real estate investor, which I've been an investor, but the book's not supposed to be about real estate investing. But he just keeps having story after story after story. And you follow along. And every now and again, he kind of puts a teaching moment, like shows you that he's putting a teaching moment. But for the most part, you just can't put the book down. I mean, like I drove to Moab. I'm a mountain biker. I love mountain biking in new places all the time. So anyways, I'm going like cross country through those tunnels, but by myself without the kids this time. And I'm listening to this and I'm like, it's only stories. And I found that the book is like ranking international bestseller. And so it's really adding weight to what you're telling us, Candace. Like, even sometimes when we don't know the value that we're going to get right away, that story keeps us in. And the story is really what makes us remember it. Man, you've given, like, we're pretty far into an episode. You've given a ton. So what we're going to do, we're going to take a quick break for our sponsor. We'll be right back. When we get back, I'm going to share just a few of the takeaways that I got, and I'm going to give Candace one opportunity to just give the absolute best advice, the short version of the absolute best advice she could ever give to you, a new podcaster. We'll be right back. Hey, my friend, as you know, this episode is sponsored by my company, growyourshow.com. We want you to be able to have the best tools at your disposal without costing you a whole arm and a leg. So right now you can get a free list of vetted equipment that like mics, mixers, webcams, sound treatment, editing software, everything that you need. I created the whole PDF with direct purchase links just to save you time and money to help it be more convenient for you. So this free PDF will help you skip all the guesswork. If it's on there, it's vetted and approved by yours truly. And if it's not on there, it's probably not worth the money. So go ahead and get yours at growyourshow.com/PDF. Let's get back into the show. And we're back with Candace Hickman from the Becoming Known podcast, 64 episodes in since 2018 of December. And we've learned a ton of stuff through what you've shared. You've talked about our why. You've talked about that being a big reason why we have a podcast, understanding what's behind all of that. What's the purpose of doing it? Yours was kind of like leveraging relationships, growing your brand, getting other people's stories and having collaborations for your business. And you kind of learn through doing it that not everybody shares the episode. And so you decided after 50 to kind of pivot and be okay with trying something new. You liked it. COVID happened to you. And now what you're going through, you said one of the things is SEO was always a challenge, like figuring out how to do it. What you did before, and I think this is important to mention, you said, I was doing, quote, a little 200 word blurb. You were doing just like a little 200 word blurb, and that wasn't really search engine optimization friendly. It wasn't really getting the right people to check it out. One other thing that you got, and I loved that you said it, the thing that I realized, you said, that it is crucial to spend the time to make sure you're researching the right keywords and write content and write show notes. Another giant takeaway that I got was that push pull, like with the marketing strategies that most people are like, rah, 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 do this. This is the best way. And they're kind of like chasing you down and it feels a little intimidating, like someone asking you to marry you on the very first date. It's like, whoa, too much, too fast. So you found a way to kind of like pull people in through branding. And I love the way that you challenged me with the seasons. And it's not just the listener and the platform, it's also you. Inspiring yourself, making sure it's sustainable, seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. Everything about personal branding, like talking about it's your stories, it's your experiences, it's your message. And how do I communicate that? Like after you figured all that, how do I now communicate it with my listener? And you're talking about we can just pay attention to our stories about anything that happens. And you challenged me and I appreciated that challenge. Honestly, I got chills. I was like, oh, wow, this is awesome. You challenged me to find out what story is it that I could share on my podcast for the next episode to kind of build that around. I appreciate it. Like, learned so much from you and a lot of tangibles. And I wanted to give you an opportunity to do two things. A, your best advice ever. And B, for your perfect listener who might want to work with you and get their brand out with your help, if you could just let them know how to find you.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I have so many good pieces of advice. I think the best advice that I could give a new podcaster is in two parts. It is to know what you want to be known for and make sure that you're researching effective keywords that will actually help you rank for that.
Awesome. Right. Love it. How do we find you? How do we hire you or work with you or learn more about you?
Everything that you could possibly want to know about me is at www.candicehickman.com. On there, you can see masterclasses and programming and all that good stuff. So just go there.
Since there could be, Candice, I know you don't want to admit it, but there could be multiple ways to spell Candice. So I've just made that link in the show notes right now. It's appropriate, it works, and it goes straight to where you want to go. So just scroll down, click on Candice's actual website, and you'll be able to see her, hire her, take her masterclass, whatever it is that you're looking for. Candice, thanks for jumping on and adding so much value and talking about your story and teaching us a little bit about how we can be better at personal branding and using stories for getting across our message. We really appreciate it.
Of course, it's been my pleasure. Such a good conversation. And you are a storyteller, Adam, by the way. You're a fabulous storyteller.
I don't know about that, but I'm leaving it in the podcast. It cannot go. All right, Candice, thanks for jumping in. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks for jumping on. Bye for now.
This episode is brought to you by growyourshow.com. Grow Your Show lets you be the star of your show while we handle all the hard stuff. We offer reliable and affordable post-production services that allow you to grow your show organically without all the work. So go ahead and check out the website right now and feel free to schedule a call with me and let's take your show to the next level. Again, growyourshow.com. You just press record. We handle the rest.